morning. You can have a seat. You guys doing good this morning? That doesn't sound very good. You guys doing good? Doing okay? So? Like Matt said, my name is AJ Vons. I'm a pastor at Lifeway Auburn. We left to plant that church, 8 years in January. We talk about it as the Church of Misfit Toys. We collect all sorts of broken and bruised and crazy people, and then we try and follow Jesus together. It's a pretty cool thing. It's a largely working class congregation. We're right in the middle of Auburn. We're in a retail space there. We just moved and expanded to a larger space, and a marijuana store moved into our old space. That lets you know kind of the neighborhood, and we're excited about that. We're glad to be there in the middle of what's happening and be part of the community there. So it's kind of a hot mess. What it is. So if you get a chance to come down to Auburn, you'll see what I'm talking about. And you'll walk away going, yeah, that's kind of a hot mess. This is a homecoming for me. I came to Christ in this church, basically. I was baptized right there almost exactly 17 years ago. So September of 1999, I was baptized there. We were part of Calvary Community Church at the time and was not a believer. And Laura and I, through just a series of events, just started going to church. She dragged me to church, right? Amen, guys. And it kind of took off from there and realized that God had a great thing for me. We've just grown together since then. And so whenever I get a chance to come home, it just reminds me of how far God has taken me and how many people are involved in making a disciple. And so I know that that's true in your life. So it's good to be here with you guys. I want you to open up your Bibles this morning to Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. I'm not going to give you the scripture on the screen. I want you to see it in your own Bible, on your own screen. If you don't have a Bible, there's some underneath the chairs. If that doesn't work for you, you can just Google it, Matthew 28, 18. But I want you to have it in front of you because I want for you to be able to find it later. I want for you to be able to say, oh, yeah, it really is there. So if you would do that. When I was growing up, I was a little Afro-headed kid in the 70s, and my mom was a single mom, so it was just her and I for the most part. And during the summer, when I was out of school, there just wasn't a lot to do. She would go off to work, and I would wake up, you know, like at 11 o'clock and have graham crackers with milk on it and watch about 5 hours of Columbo and whatever there was to do to stay busy. But inevitably, when I got up in the morning and I go in to have my breakfast slash first lunch, there would be a list on the kitchen counter, and it was a list of things that needed to be done that day, right? Does that sound familiar? You ever have those, right? Leave those for your kids. And it was, I always felt like childhood slavery to me. Like, I'm supposed to be on summer break, I'm supposed to be having fun, I got things I'm supposed to do, and you're making me work. In reality, it was like 30 minutes of pick up the laundry you left on the bathroom floor, right? But it seemed like a big deal at the time. And I don't know about you, but inevitably, I'd get right on it and do a great job, right? No, all the moms are shaking their heads. No, that's not the way it works, right? You put it off to the very last minute, and then you do a halfway job. You know, you sweep the dirt underneath the rug, and just enough to keep from getting grounded was kind of the idea. But that idea of mom saying, hey, I'm going away, and I've got something I need for you to do while I'm gone, and I expect for it to be done while I get back, is really the theme of this series. Jesus in his ministries, we see in all four Gospels, he gets to the end of his time on earth, he's proven that he's the Son of God, he's reconnected us with the Father, and then in his preparation to go away, he says, I have a job for you to do, and I need for you to get it done before I get back. And we see this in all four Gospels. In the book of Matthew, in most of the books, it's like a period at the end of a sentence. In the book of Matthew, it's an exclamation mark. He really tries to make sure that we get it. And so we see the word all throughout this short two verses in there. So look at it with me in whatever version you're in. I'll read to you from the New Living Translation, but they're all pretty similar. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is saying, this is a big deal. I don't want you to miss this. the job I'm giving you, the job I left on the kitchen counter, is not something I want for you to get to if you have time. This is the job I've left you to do. Whether he's talking to the kingdom altogether, or the Lifeway Network, or Lifeway Federal Way, or you, he's saying, this is your job. It's super easy to get distracted, isn't it? Right? And to begin to think that church is about other things and making sure our lives run smoothly. And, you know, there's just an endless number of things that we can get distracted by. And so I think Jesus, at the very end of his ministry, is making this point to keep us focused. He says, church, one job. There's one thing I need for you to do, right? Like, there would be times that my mom would come home and I would have, you know, done the math a little bit wrong and I couldn't quite be done on time. And she'd come in and she'd, what were you doing all day? I gave you one job to do and you couldn't get that done. There's going to be a moment that Jesus comes back and he's going to say, did you get that job done I left on the kitchen counter for you? I want to make sure that I and we can say yes. I got it done. I didn't do it very well maybe all the time. And quite frankly, I probably put it off longer than I should have and all those sorts of things. But yeah, I got it done, right? Isn't that what we want to be able to say? That's what this series is all about. And so we're going to kind of, I think, go towards the home stretch of it for you. We see a couple of things in there. We see our motive for doing it. Our motive is simply Jesus' authority. He says, I got promoted to boss. I earned it the hard way. And now I get to decide what we do next. So because I have authority, not just here, but also in heaven, here's what I want for you to do. Therefore, I would love it if you were happy about it. I would love it if you were excited about it. I would love it if you felt confident about it. But at the end of the day, I just need you to do it, right? Mom would come home and I would say, why do I have to do all these chores? I have TV to watch and video games to play and other stuff going on and the job you gave me is hard. It's not fair. Why? And she would say what? Because I said so. Because she was mom and she had authority. We do the same thing with making disciples sometimes. But it's so hard. You know what? Why? And Jesus says, Because I said so. Because I'm in charge. You gave your life to me. I gave you freedom and eternity. Therefore, this is what your job is. And sometimes it's just about because I said so. And then he tells us what we're supposed to do, which is simply what? Excellent. One more time for practice. What are we supposed to do? Make disciples by going, by baptizing, and by teaching. By doing those three things, we as a big C church, as a little C church, as individual believers, our job is to make disciples by going, by baptizing, by teaching. Now, I need for you to do something with me. I know some of us, we've just met, so I'm going to ask you to trust me just a little bit. It's really important to me that as we continue our conversation, that you have something really specific in mind. So here's what I want you to do. I just want you to close your eyes because I don't want you to watch your neighbor. Okay? Everybody there? I want you to close your eyes. And when you think of making disciples, evangelism, discipleship, bringing people closer to God, I want for you to get one thing in your head that you think God is laying on your heart to do. It might be somebody to share your faith with. It might be somebody to invite to church. It might be somebody just to extend grace and mercy to, somebody to come alongside and mentor, whatever that is. And when you have that one thing in your head, I just want for you to raise your hand so I know we're all on the same page. Okay, keep your eyes closed. I'll give you time. Seriously. You didn't come for the coffee. Okay, getting there. Okay. That one thing that you think God is calling you to do, keep your hand up even if it's just a little so I can see, and we all get there. We're getting there. I have the patience of Job. Most of us are there. Okay, put your hands down. And now you can open your ideas. Your eyes. I want you to keep that one thing in your mind as we talk about this making disciples and what Jesus is going to say to us next, because I think it's going to help you out a little bit. When we get to the end of this great commandment, we pay so much attention to the first two verses. Therefore, I've been given all authority on heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of other nations, baptize them, right? We've heard it maybe 100 times, some of you have heard it. We miss this last verse, and it is just as important as the first two. The reason it's so important is because Jesus takes the time to encourage us. That thing that God has placed on your heart, that person, God knows it's hard. He knows maybe it's nervous. And so He wants to give you some encouragement. He didn't threaten you. He didn't say do it or else. He's not hanging grounding over your head if you don't do the job. He finishes simply by offering you some encouragement. When I think about evangelism, some of the things that are right on the top of my list, you met Nelson. Nelson and I, when we meet every other week, we're going to start meeting as we go around the neighborhood and just talking to people. That's one of the things God has put on my heart. I have some people in my family that I'm close to that I haven't talked to about Jesus in a long time. That's one of the things that God has put on my heart. I want to get really good at inviting at least five people to church a week. That's one of my goals for this year. I want to get busy about it. And so when I think about that, I feel like I feel when I stand at the deep end of the pool. You remember that when you were a little kid, right? And you swam in the kiddie pool and you had on a little diaper thing, right? And then you moved to the shallow end and that felt pretty cool. And then you're hanging out in the shallow end and playing. But all the big kids, all the cool stuff is happening over on the deep end. And that's where the high dive is, and all of that, right? And so one day you decided you were going to venture over there. You've been doing your little swimmy lessons and all of that. And you stand at the edge of the deep end. And you remember that feeling of being a little nervous. And I'm not sure how this is going to go. And that's how I feel when I think about the things God wants for me to do in making disciples. And I think Jesus knows that. He knows that He's given you a hard job. And He expects us to do it because He's the boss. But He wants to encourage you. And so He finishes with this last verse. I want to take a really close look at that this morning. Let's read through it again a little bit at a time. He says, "And now be sure of this." Okay, literally, behold. Some of your translations say, behold. What He's saying is, hey. When I want to get, I have six kids, they're all various shades of brown, and when I really want their attention, I grab their little brown faces, and I say, listen to me. I want for you to get this. Because there are things we say as parents that we know we're going to say five, six times, and it's going to go in one ear and out the other, and that's okay. But there are some times when you really need for them to hear what you're saying. And so you grab them by their little faces, and you say, I need for you to get this. Jesus is saying, hey, I need for you. Don't miss this. I know you're being nervous about that thing I gave you to do. And I know you're feeling a little picked on because I said so. Don't miss this piece. And be sure of this. I am with you always. Literally the whole of every day, I am with you. You're not on your own. You're not by yourself. I am with you always. And there's no end to it. He says, even to the end of the age. We live in a period of Bible history, of God's great story that is unique. We have Jesus Christ. He's been ascended. He's coming back. We live in this time where we have a job to do. And that job couldn't, nobody before Jesus could share the gospel. Nobody after He comes back is going to have a whole lot of time to share the gospel. We have a unique opportunity to do a job. So He says, as long as it's this time, even to the end of this age, I will be with you the whole of every day. Here's the big idea I want you to get this morning. If we will go, Jesus will be with us. Will you read that with me? If we will go, Jesus will be with us. I don't think He's saying if you don't go, you're on your own. That's not who Jesus is. He tells us to come to us when we're heavy burdened and all those sorts of things. But I think He is saying, especially if you will go, I will be there with you. Think about all the times that Jesus says, come, follow me. He doesn't say to them, accept me and then I'll come hang out with you. You know, we'll do a little grocery shopping, I'll fold some laundry for you. We'll just, whatever you were doing before, I'm just going to join you in that. He says, hey, I need for you to lead that life. Maybe not physically, but at least spiritually, I need for you to be done with that and come join me where I am. And when they decided, and not all of them did, when they decided to leave and follow him, all of a sudden they got to know him. They got to see him. They got to be with him. Jesus is saying, even though I'm not going to be here with you physically anymore, I will be with you always if you will go, if you will still follow me in the same way. If we will go, Jesus will be with us. When I was a teenager and started just kind of first jobs and things like that, and back in the day when you're looking for a job, you open up the newspaper and there'd be like a job ad and things like that. There was an ad there, and I became for about a month the worst Cutco cutlery salesman you've ever met. How many of you are familiar with Cutco cutlery? Okay, you've either done it or you have kids who tried to sell you stuff or whatever. Cutco cutlery is, it's a door-to-door. You pay money up front and you never get it back because nobody's that good of a salesman, right? Like, who buys cutlery from a kid on your doorstep? Somebody you didn't know? Really? Oh my, see, from church though. That's different. They want you to go knock on doors, right? And I am not a salesman. It was the last sales job I ever had. It's just not, it's not who I am. I was terrible at it. And I remember I bought my samples. That's how they make their money. And bought my samples. I was ready to go. And I practiced the routine. I was just so terrified. I'd never done anything like this before. And I remember talking to my mom. And we would practice together and coach it out. And I was still nervous. She said, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll go with you if you want. I'm like, Mom, you can't take my mom. How weird would that be? Like, no, I'm going to buy some knives. This is my mom. We're here buying, selling knives. There's no way I can do that. So then we figured out this thing. Okay, well, fine. Well, I can't go to the door with you. So what I'll do is we'll go, I'll drop you off, and then I'll go and I'll park around the corner where nobody can see, right? So you go do your thing, come back, and then we'll go on to the next one. So that's kind of what we did. And it was weird and it was terrible. And I never sold a single knife to anybody who, didn't love me. And, but she was there. That's kind of, that encouragement of just having somebody there. I can't do it for you, but I'll be with you as you do it. That's kind of what Jesus is saying to us. That's kind of what he's promising. He's trying to encourage you. I know you're standing on the edge of the deep end, getting ready to do something hard. So I just want you to know you're not alone. But here's the cool thing. This is way better than parking around the corner. Sometimes I think when we think about Jesus being with us, we think about him parking around the corner. Like he's watching and he's on our side and he loves us, but we're really kind of out there on our own and there's not anything he can do for us until we get back to the car. That is not what Jesus is saying. I think Jesus is giving you a whole lot more encouragement than just, I'm going to watch from the car. I think that Jesus is saying, if you will go, I will be with you, not around the corner, but there on the doorstep. In fact, I will be with you. I will go ahead of you. I'll like go and knock on the door and say, hey, this kid's coming. He's going to sell you a bunch of knives and I need for you to buy them because it's just good for you and good for him. And then when you show up, like I'll feed you your lines and then I'll whisper in their ear and say, what he really meant was this. And then when you get to the end, like, I'll tell you what, I'll kind of do the sales pitch. And Jesus is not parking around the corner. I think Jesus is even doing more to make disciples when we go than we are. When you think about the work of making disciples, it is way beyond something we're capable of doing. When he tells us to make disciples, he's not saying, hey, here are the ingredients, you go make them. What he's really saying is, be faithful to go. And if you'll do that, I'll do the heavy lifting. I just need for you to be faithful. And if you'll go, I will be with you. I want for you to see what I think is a great example out of the book of Acts. And you don't need to look it up. I'll show it to you on the screen. Paul, Apostle Paul, missionary, pastor extraordinaire, right? Like, he's out there on the front lines. He's pushing the boundaries. We all go, oh, Paul. Man, we want to be like Paul. Paul's out there, and he's done the missionary work. He's been a believer for a long time. He's a pro at it. But we see in Acts 18, he has this vision from Jesus. And it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent. I think that's fascinating. Jesus knew that even Paul was nervous. Jesus knew that even Paul, deep in his heart, didn't want to say anything. He didn't really want to speak out in that moment. And he'd done it before. And he'd seen the fruit. He'd seen all the people come to faith. He was way better at this than you and I are. And yet Paul was a little chicken in that moment. And so Jesus doesn't beat up on him. He comes back to him and says exactly what he's saying to us in Matthew 28. Hey, I'm here with you. Don't be afraid. Don't speak out. Don't be silent. For I am with you. And no one will attack or harm you. You're going to be okay. For many people in this city belong to me. Don't you see Jesus is not parked around the corner? Right? Like he's in the work. I've gone ahead of you. I'm going to feed you your lines. I'm going to be there. I've laid the groundwork for you. I'm going to protect you. Make sure nothing bad happens to you. We see this fulfilled in Paul's life and a couple other places. Let's think about why this is encouraging, right? You got your person, you got your thing still on your mind, okay, that God's poking at you and saying, hey, this is the thing I want you to do. Don't forget that. As you think about that, you feel that little bit of nervousness maybe, or maybe a little bit, you know, I don't know, whatever you feel. But you're standing on the edge a little bit. Jesus wants to encourage you. That's the bottom line. I don't have a big theology for you to learn this morning. I'm not trying to guilt you in anything. I want for you to be encouraged. I want for you to have just enough hope because of what Jesus promises that you take that step forward. So I want to think just a little bit about why is this encouraging? Jesus makes a promise to you. Our faith is built on the promises of God, right? There are certain things that he says to us that we don't necessarily have evidence for. We've not seen them firsthand, but we take them as truth and we build our life on them. We base our emotions, our thoughts, our behaviors on the promises of God. Jesus makes a promise to you when it comes to making disciples. That means that there are some things that you can know. As fact, you can bank on them, you can base your life on them. You know when you go to make disciples, whatever that thing is that God's put on your heart, that certain things are going to be true. Let me give you kind of five quick ones that I see. First, it's not all up to us. If Jesus is with you always as you go and make disciples, it is not all up to you. We feel that way, though, sometimes, don't we? I'm going to make disciples. I've got to convince them. I've got to have all the right words to make sure. I've got to have all the right arguments. I've got to say it in just the right way. And if it doesn't work the way I want, it means I didn't do it right. We feel like it's all up to us. Jesus promises you that he's there with you. Therefore, that is not true. I saw this the most in my experience with my mom. I didn't grow up Christian. She grew up in the Catholic Church and had walked away from that. And after I had become a believer and I was on staff here, and we were in this building even, her boyfriend died of a heart attack in the middle of surgery. And it was completely unexpected. He was in his late 40s, early 50s. And it was just it was her experience that just kind of rocked her world, right? Like we've all had those experiences. And she was just kind of undone and just really in a moment of searching for that. And as a believer, you see those opportunities. And I just knew immediately, like, if I don't share the gospel with her, who's going to share the gospel? Like, I'm her kid. She parked on the corner with me. She was always there. I gotta do this. This is on me to do. And I dragged my feet. Right? Like, I did the whole book thing. Like, hey, Mom, here's a book you should read. You know, there's somebody you should listen to. I'll pray about that. It's okay, God loves you. But something, it was hard to take that step and say, Mom, can I share the truth with you? Can I tell you where God is in this? And even though he's allowed something hard in your life, he loves you. He wants to know you and for you to know him and accept Jesus, and if you'll accept him, you can have real life. And here's what that looks like in my life. And it took me months. I shouldn't say again. And God was so patient in it. And I remember there was a turning point. I was sitting in my office upstairs in this building, and we were on the phone just talking through. And I was so nervous; my hands were shaking. Like, I'm a pastor. I should not be so scared about this. But it was my mom, and it was just through the whole thing. I just remember it, and I just went for it. I said, Mom, can we just really talk about God in this? And I don't remember what we said or whatever, but it was a real turning point. And we started these conversations, and she became a believer. She does great mission work now. She's an incredible follower of Christ. And I got to be a part of that. But you know what I learned in that? God loved my mom more than I did. Whoever that person is that God is putting on your heart, whatever that thing is, God cares about that more than you do. That's what He's doing right now. All of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is God caring about people enough to chase them down. I guarantee you, whoever that person is, whatever that thing He's asking you to do, God is more invested in it than you are. So it is not all up to you. For whatever reason, though, He's waiting for you to do your part. He's simply asking you to be faithful by going, by baptizing, by teaching. It is not all up to us. The second thing that we can know is that He has prepared the way. We see all over Scripture that God prepares the way. He orchestrates the circumstances. He brings people into your life. He's put that person in your life. He's brought that relationship there. He's given you that opportunity. Just take it on faith that God is paving the way for you. That He's gone ahead. He said to Paul, there are many people in this city who belong to me. Paul had never been there before. But God had gone ahead and was already working there. You ever had that experience where you see, all of a sudden you get up your nerve and you realize like they're already halfway there because God has already been working there. I have a friend, Roy, who I was fortunate enough to be a part of being there with him as he prayed to accept Christ. And we had members in the church who were doing this apartment ministry, and so they built this relationship with Roy. And he just had a crisis night, and there were bad things going on. And David called and said, hey, Roy's really having a hard time. Do you have time to come over? And I went over at 10 o'clock at night, just talked to him, and Roy was just broken. And I listened, and I said, Roy, here's the deal. I shared the gospel in a really simple way. And I said, are you ready for that? He said, yeah. Well, that was easy. I'm going to go home now. My work here is done. Right? He accepted Christ, and he's growing in his faith, and it's just wonderful to see. God did all the work. He just needed me to say, are you ready? Right? And I don't take any credit for that because I didn't do anything other than listen to him and say, here's the gospel. Are you ready for that? I promise you, because God cares about that person in your life more than you do, that he's doing the work. He's ahead of you. That doesn't guarantee it's going to work out the way you think it's going to work out at the time you need. But I promise God is preparing the way. He's going ahead of you. He's doing that work. He's setting the table for you. All he needs for you to do is show up. The third thing we know, because Jesus is with us always, is that he's going to guide us. He says to Paul multiple places, don't be afraid, I'm going to give you the words to say. Speak out, they're going to call you into court. Don't be afraid, I'm going to give you the words. I've sat down, I've talked to people about faith before, and years later they come back around and say, I remember this time you said that thing, and it just changed my life and all that. And I remember those conversations, and I remember that is not what I said. Right? Like, what you think I said is not what I said, because the advice I gave you was terrible. But God, somewhere in there, His Holy Spirit works between our words and their ears. And He uses that. And if you'll show up and you'll do it the best you can, just say it the best you can, He's going to be there, and He's going to work in that person's heart, and He's going to help you get better at that. Right? He's going to guide you along the way. The fourth thing we know, because He's with us, is that we're safe. God promises Paul that nobody's going to harm him, which always, it's an interesting promise, because Paul ends up in prison, he gets beaten. Right? Like, I picture Paul getting tossed in prison, he hears the gates close, and he's like, this is not what I thought you meant. Right? Like, you promised me that I wasn't going to get harmed, and here I am. And so I scratch my head and I go, what does that mean? Like, God is not promising that people are never going to reject you. God is not promising you that you're never going to lose any friends, or you're never going to lose any job opportunities, or that people aren't going to make fun of you for being the Jesus freak, or that kid, or whatever. That is not what God is promising. But I think because Jesus is with us, what He is promising is that in all the ways that safety really matters, we're safe. Paul tells us, he says, don't be afraid of people. All they can do is kill you. Great, thanks. No, but he's serious. He says, all they can do is kill you. Be afraid of God who can kill your soul. We know that we're safe. We know that we're safe. When we accepted Christ, we were given eternal salvation. We know that we're safe. We know that we're not alone. We know that in all the ways that security really matters, we have security. Therefore, we don't need to worry about whether or not somebody makes fun of us or not. That's not real security. People's approval of you, people's acceptance of you, people's agreement with you, the opportunities that people have to give you, that is not security. But Jesus is with you always to remind you that you have real safety. In the same way he can promise to Paul, even though you're going to go through these hard things, that nobody's really going to harm you. Not in a way that matters. The last thing that we can know, because Jesus is with us, is that we will see the power of God. I think in the church these days and in the West, we get pretty comfortable. And it's not unusual for us to see our faith life and the things that happen and then read scripture and go, why aren't I seeing this? Why aren't I seeing the miracles? Why don't I feel God's power? Why don't I see him working in people's lives? Why aren't we seeing thousands of people come to faith and the kingdom explode? Because we want that. We thought that's what we signed up for. Honestly, folks, I think it's on us. I think it's because we've been waiting for Jesus to come with us where we're going. The only time people in Scripture saw miracles was when they first started with an act of obedience and followed Jesus. If they were willing to leave their life before, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever, and follow him, then they got to see the miracles. They didn't get to see the fish and loaves multiply until they went and collected the bread that was there. Nobody got to see the healing until Jesus says, do you believe in me? God wants for us to experience his power. He wants for us to see him work. He wants for us to know that we're being used by God in amazing ways. But it requires us first to go, to follow him, to join him in what he's doing. He is all about making the disciples. Because the time is short. And for some weird reason, he invites us to do that work, and he counts on us to do our part. He's going to do all the heavy lifting, but he needs for you to show up. But because he's with you always, I guarantee if you will do that thing that God is nudging you about today, that you're going to see God work. Even if the circumstances don't happen the way you think they're going to, you're going to see God work. You're going to see him work in you. You're going to see him work in the people around you. You're going to see God do stuff, and it's going to remind you that your faith is real. Is that encouraging? Right? So, go back to that thing that God has put on your heart. And know that Jesus is standing there next to you and going, that's really deep. Right? Like, people are drowned in less water. It's probably cold, too. But here's the deal. I'm with you. And if you'll just take that step, okay, we'll dive in together. Hold your hand. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay? We can do that together. It couldn't. I want for it to be so clear to you to do that thing today, tomorrow, this week, whatever that is. Do that thing. Here's the three things I want you to do. Our first step really is accepting the authority of Jesus. We as pastors and leaders spend a lot of time wanting you to be excited, wanting you to be motivated to do evangelism and make disciples, and we make it look as good as we can and all sorts of things like that. At the end of the day, it's the authority of Jesus. Jesus says what mom said, because I said so. When you accepted Jesus' forgiveness, the fine print said, and now I give my life to you. And so I think the greatest battle when it comes to making disciples is ownership. Do I belong to Jesus? Do I belong to Jesus? And if so, it's very clear the job that he gave me. and it's going to be hard some days and be easy other days, but I'm going to spend the rest of this age doing it because it's the least I could do. Our first step really is to accept your faith. The second thing is simply figure out what your next step is. What is your next assignment? There are 1,000 different things that God might be putting on your heart. He might be saying, Paul, I want you to leave your job and go to Russia and become a missionary. He's been known to do that from time to time. Okay? That's your next assignment. Are you going to do it or not? He might be saying, hey, I just want you to write a note of encouragement to Mike Freeman because I know he really needs it even though you can't see it. That's your discipleship thing today. Whatever that thing may be, just take it as your next assignment, do it, and then come back and get the next one. I think God wants for us to have a lifestyle of simply getting our next assignment, not worrying about the one down the road, not putting a big stretch, just get your next assignment, do it, come back, get the next one. If you take 10 minutes today and you just say, God, I belong to you, what do you want for me to do next? He's going to put something on your heart. And if you're worried that it might be you and not him, come back the next day and say, God, what do you want me to do? And if it's the same thing, you know. And then just go do that. Okay? The third thing that we simply need to do is just go. Let's just go. If God has put it on your heart, then he's decided you're ready. You may not feel ready. You may not have all the words right. But if he's put it on your heart, then he's decided it's time to do it. Just go. Just go and do that thing. Pick up the phone this afternoon. Grab your pen. Schedule a coffee. Whatever that thing is. Go and do that. And God will be there. He will use you. And you can come back and get your next assignment. Wouldn't that be a great way to spend the rest of the time? Yeah? Why don't you stand with me? I want to pray for you. Father, we forget, I think we forget your Holy Spirit sometimes and the fact that you're always working in everybody's hearts and minds. You're working in the hearts and minds of our non-believing friends. You're working in our hearts and minds. I trust that you're speaking into every person's heart. Father, whatever it is you're putting on people's hearts here this morning, I pray that they would just have confidence that it's from you, that they would accept your authority, and that they would just go do that thing. Father, I pray for them as they stand on the edge of the deep end. You know more than any of us that it can be scary and that we don't want to speak out sometimes and we don't want to be bold, we don't want to be different. Father, I pray that they would be encouraged this morning, knowing that you're with them. Not parked around the corner, you're with them. And you're probably doing more work than they're ever going to. Encourage them. Give them the hope to try. Give them the hope to try. Father, we confess that we're not always faithful. We thank you for your forgiveness and your patience. Father, we want to be a people who please you. When you come back to get us, we want to be able to show you that we checked off the one thing you asked us to do. Thank you for giving me a chance to be here this morning and kind of come home. And I'm just amazed by the things you've done in my life and your patience and faithfulness to me and in my unfaithfulness and feet dragging. Thank you for all the friends I get to see, and I just love them. And I thank you for this church and the Lifeway Network. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.